You should be proud.
I've done things for my family. I got soup for my family.
you made it sound like you'd done something evil.
What I had to do.
I did things.
I'm not proud of it, but
I did things.
At the end of the day, my children will read and eat pasta. Welcome to AE Double Back for Wednesday, July 12th, 2023. You know when the energy dips, it's time to start the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, you should be aware that this show is made using methyl cellulose. Look it up.
It's basically a McFlurry is what the show is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. After all the partying we did for Grimace's birthday, it's time to bring it in.
After all, settle it
down.
Blow.
Calm down.
Do a podcast.
Just podcast it out.
All right. So I guess I'm starting us off.
You took an entire damn week off. You're going to work your ass off.
Oh, yeah. You guys need a third.
What? How dare you?
I'm not saying it has to be me, but
I keep telling my partner that, and they're not having it.
Whoa.
Go on.
Well, anyways, Jericho versus Commander. That's the first match of the night. No one came out with Jericho. So, you know, we don't know what's up with Jazz. We don't know. Anna Jay would have to change her name again.
Oh, boy.
Be Anna J-K-A-S.
Oh, yeah. Jackass.
Yeah, jackass.
I saw the last Jackass movie in the theater, and it was a good time.
No, I've never seen any of them.
All right.
See, you leave for a week, and we're off the rails. Yeah. Can't be stopped.
So Commander is great, and yes. I will say I like this match. It was not as good as other matches Commander has been in, but he gets to do all the stuff that he's really good at, except for like a couple points when he misses Jericho practically entirely when he does some of his special moves, which is, you know, it's a bummer, but fuck it. He did it. So it's not like you know, I'm no less stunned, you know?
I thought that when his hand lightly touched Jericho, like after landing far away from him, that was the whole plan, and Jericho sold it. I have to assume that like his hands
hand
are
was
deadly.
Fully pumped up at that point.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a power punch for the ages, or a power graze. Anyway, Jericho ends up pinning, so it's like, you know what's going to happen. And then Don Callis comes out. I'm assuming this is all part of the same thing.
Don Callis and his music, which is just the best thing in the world.
It's hard to say that what it is music.
You know what it is? Here's what it reminds me of. Okay, for one match, Mike Tyson in the 80s had a match where his opening music was just like this note, and it was like this real ominous sound. It was just a single note, and they'd used it in a commercial for advertising the match. And he was like, I like that. Do that. Because they're like, and so they had to manufacture a soundtrack because that thing was only like not even 30 seconds long, you know? So they had to like manufacture it to make it his entrance music. And so it is very ominous when you think of, let's say you're the first guy in the ring with 80s Mike Tyson, right? And you just hear this fucked up, like ominous note, and this motherfucker is walking towards you. I mean, that is scary.
You want to know what ingredient they use to extend Mike Tyson's music?
Oh no.
Wow.
Methyl cellulose.
Damn methyl cellulose.
It's in everything.
It's in
so
glue.
Anyways. I'm sure it's in lots of shit. If it's cheap to make and it's already in food, then I'm sure it's in everything. So anyway, that's what it reminded me of. Don Callis's music is just like some sound. And yeah, I was like, he's taken a page from Mike Tyson on this one. Anyhoodle, he came out and there was a video for Jericho, and it's Jericho with this guy named Bad News and Don Callis
when
he's
Allen.
Young. And I was like, oh my God, look at him. I've never seen him like that. And he has his group. He's calling his group the Don Callis family. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Like the Manson family.
Probably yeah. just like
very
them.
Topical. Very
incidentally,
topical.
One of the Manson family is out of jail and available to join.
Yeah. That's
oh,
what he means
snap. Once we get that sweet, sweet WB money, then it's time to splurge.
I don't think they're going to have a hard time getting Leslie Van Houten.
I mean, she's unemployable, so she's got to do something.
I mean, I can think of at least a half dozen wrestlers off the top of my head who are unemployable in any other career.
I would venture to guess she wouldn't be any good at this one either, but I don't know. I'm really surprised they let anyone out, but whatever.
She's been up for parole like a gajillion times.
I know, and she gets turned down a gajillion times.
She probably did something that was like a big step forward, like make a birdhouse or whatever, and they're like, "Whoa, she is reformed."
I mean, of all the people we don't let out that are nonviolent offenders, I don't know, man. And like she was whatever. I should.
You're afraid of running afoul of Leslie Van Houten.
No, I'm like, Teresa, you don't need to get started. Don't put your feet on the pedal.
Don't expose to Chan that this is something you're vulnerable about getting wound up on.
That's a good point.
I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to be talking about Charles Manson for the next 40 to 50 minutes. So,
and I'm going to be talking about methyl cellulose. So, you know, Teresa,
we got running gags.
Anyway,
I will say this. I enjoyed this match. I thought it was a lot of fun to see Jericho, performing with, you know, straight up Lucha.
Yeah.
And, I thought it was perfectly fine. All of that is not nearly as important as the main thing, yes. Which is that Don Callis is putting makeup into his scar.
Yeah, oh my God, I know.
he shows up on the screen, they do like a close up of it, and I was like, wait a minute. Why is his scar so red? And I'm like, oh my God, he's doing like a reverse Harry Potter, and I love it. I mean, that in addition to the Callis sound, I guess I'm not allowed to call it music, but you know what? It'll always be. It's the music that I hear in my head all of the time.
I
love it. It's all great.
I thought this was great too. And I like the idea of Jericho being in somehow in a group with Don Callis. I don't know why. I guess because like it would be neat to change things up and not necessarily have to have a Jericho stable.
Yeah.
I'm just curious, like what would this even be? What the fuck would this be?
Yeah.
There was a time back in the Attitude Era where Stone Cold was injured and, you know, like couldn't wrestle nearly as much as he was once. And basically they turned him heel because, like, you know, you can't do a lot of in-ring stuff. So just like be a talker and just like, you know, just we'll make things interesting by having you be a bad guy. and he teamed up with Triple H and called themselves a two-man power trip, and people hated it. Hated it. It tanked. They lost so much money because people stopped buying Stone Cold shirts, you know, and all that. But for my money, it was one of the most entertaining times in wrestling because both of them, I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin is just all around an amazing professional wrestler. He can do good. He can do bad. He can, you know, do whatever. But he has a particular flair for being a heel. And Triple H at the time, like, there was no more credible heel. You could put him in, like, the top five maybe ever of the kind of, like, bad guys who don't win by cheating, but they win by just being better and smarter and all that. And this two-man thing was just so good, and people hated it. And, you know, like, it cost them money, but I think artistically it was amazing. And I think it would be amazing if Jericho and Callis were just like, you know what? We're going to be two motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. And we're just going to have the best time and make people so mad and like it because I'm Jericho and I can do whatever I want. And I'm going to, you know, have fun doing all of these different things before I retire. I think that's amazing. I hope that's what they're doing. And I want that a lot.
I love the idea of a wrestler doing like an alternating series of programs the same way that actors at least used to do, like their movie projects, you know, the one for them, one for me deal. Yeah. So that like you do one story angle that is actually commercial and popular. And then you do an art house one where you like wear a beret and a red balloon floats up into the air and you hear mournful music, you know, like all of that.
Well, he's already put in a couple years, you know, like a 1 year with the Inner Circle and another year with JAS, basically getting over a group of people. And each time he gets all these people way over. And
not Jake Hager.
No. You know what? Jake Hager is the thing that is that's what he's paying for.
He's the methylcellulose.
Yes, he's.
I like the idea of Jericho like not being the driving force of a faction that he's in. Like, what's it look like if he's like also there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Much anyway, fun thumbs to be up. Had.
Yes.
Same.
All right. So then we've got like this recap of the issues between Jungle Boy and Hook. And so then we go back. We're with Marvez. We're in the garage area. Jungle Boy's yelling out the window. And then Hook has come through the other side of his car. So Jungle Boy has to let himself out because a child locks is in the back seat. He's got to put his hand through the window. That was real. That's real life. but I was like, this isn't terrible. This is like 3 weeks now.
Yeah.
They're doing this type of thing. So, you know, we can change it up. If I had watched last week, I might be annoyed this week, but I didn't watch. So technically I'm not that annoyed, but.
Okay.
I feel like, they're making it work by keeping it short and tight.
Yes. And like, it's fast movement, you know, it's not that bad.
Because like this is very basic stuff. And, Perry is like, he's okay at it, you know, and he's working on it. He's getting better. And let's keep him on TV. Let's keep it short. So like, it doesn't get irritating. And like, yeah, I respect that. I'm into it.
I think like my favorite part though was actually on Marvez this time, because this was where I'm right. Right. This was where he's like, I've been here outside the car for 20 minutes. Jungle Boy won't come out. Time to knock.
That's so funny. I don't remember that, but yeah. I guess that's what he said. I just don't remember.
It's dumb. Yeah.
Any hoodle. Yeah, I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah.
Sweet. All right. We've got.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry. It just hit me that like Hook was in the back seat, like the hook-handed guy in the back seat of a car in the urban legend.
Dun dun dun. It's a good one.
Indeed.
I was going to say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It matters. You matter, Teresa.
Anyway, so there's a recap of MJF and Adam Cole and the birthday cake and party. And so now they're showing us what happened when they went out. They went to a bar. There's lots of shot glasses there. So you have to assume they did some shots. MJF wants to go after some girls. And Adam's like, no. It was just gross. Having him come back and zip up his fly. Gross, dude. And then it cuts to them in their hotel room and they're playing the AEW video game. Lols. I lolled. Because I'm like, way to work in a... Another commercial for this.
This is Cracker Barrel levels of product placement.
Oh, yeah. Which is fine by me. Like, the Cracker Barrel was, like, the par excellence, like, best product placement possible.
Well, it's like when 30 Rock did the product placement and, you know, they just sort of, like, hung a little lay around it. Like, yes, this is the thing that we are doing. We are having fun with it. And, like, all right. Okay. You won me over.
Anyway, so I just thought it was funny.
It was indeed.
It shows a little bit of their, you know, progression as friends, which is also kind of funny. And that's all I have to say about it. Gave it a thumbs up.
Same. Like, it's not rocking my world, but it's, you know, it's just like square right down the middle of silly wrestling. Like, they both appear to be having a lot of fun. Yeah. And that's enough for me to be just like, okay, I'm on board.
Yeah, totally.
And we're building to something crazy that I am not expecting. Like, I don't know how this ends, but I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be Le Lunch de Bonaire.
Oh my.
Dun, 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 dun. let's see.
Right. What else is in the news?
What else do I got? We've got Darby and Orange Cassidy versus Sammy and Daniel Garcia. This is pretty damn good, right?
Yeah. Pretty damn good.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you can hear those names and think anything different. But, I mean, it's exactly as good as you expect and want it to be. It's pretty great. So, but their Embassy and Swerve specifically intervene. Ooh. So Sammy can pin Darby. Darby's so upset, but he shakes Sammy's hand very reluctantly. And Sammy actually reaches his hand out. So, you know, that's a continued change in attitude that I'm still not totally sold on, but whatever.
Yeah. He's going to go face, and you know what? Like, eventually he's going to get to the point.
Because of the baby?
Well, no, just because like he's a handsome young guy and they want that sweet, sweet merch money. And so like to be a real superstar, you have to be able to be both a heel and a face. And you know, like he's not there yet as a face, but he's getting there. He's going to get better. And like, maybe they feel like, at this time he can do it. So like, yeah, sure.
Why not? Give it another try. Why not? Do it.
Might be a bridge too far for me, but I mean, I give this match a thumbs up.
Yeah, match is a thumbs up.
I don't know if I've mentioned this yet, but Darby Allin is my kid's favorite wrestler.
Really?
When we got the video game, he was looking at it. He was like, I want to be that person. I'm like, Darby Allin? Yes. And he keeps going back to him. It's the only character he'll play.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's all. I just wanted to say that. What did you think about that sequence of rolling crucifix pins, Teresa? I know that you don't care for those trading pins things.
You know I don't like it.
But what do you feel about this?
I mean, it was different. It was more interesting, I guess. But yeah, I don't like that kind of stuff generally. So, but I thought the whole thing was good. So,
okay.
Why? What do you think of it? Do you think it's the greatest? Do you think it's the greatest sequence ever?
In the history of history? No, but I did enjoy it. And also, I guess like Taz really ratcheted up the heelishness around this point of the show. Shivani was called MJF a knucklehead. And Taz just starts getting pissed. And he's like, how dare you? Like, what are you doing? Like, leave the guy alone. What the hell? and it just gets worse and worse over the show. And I was delighted. I thought it was great.
Yeah. There was also a point when the sound cut out on my thing. So I had to like this match specifically, I kind of had to go back a little bit.
So
I may have missed some of what
does. You missed sheer genius.
Anyway.
Did we all thumb this up or?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about the crucifix pin thing, Calder?
I don't have any like strong feelings about it one way or the other, I guess. I was trying to think of like what my thing was that is the thing I hate. And I was like, I don't know.
Okay.
It's
just goofy to me.
I'm curious about the run-in from Strickland. Like, is Daniel Garcia maybe headed to the Mogul Embassy after the breakup of JAS?
It could be. Wait a minute. They don't.
Well, I wonder if he could go singles.
I mean, he could, and he is getting over, but I don't think he's ready to go without a mouthpiece.
But he's not as cool as Swerve. Like,
well,
he's
yeah, but that's
goofy,
the point,
right?
Like, who? Literally, there is nobody in AEW who is as cool as Swerve Strickland.
I know, but like, you can't imagine. Can you imagine Prince Nana, Swerve, and then Daniel Garcia coming out and Daniel Garcia doing his little dance?
Well, but like, also, yeah. Also, you've got Cage there, and the right. What are the Powers of Pain, the Authors of Destruction, the
There's only one of them left.
The Authors of yeah.
There's only one of those guys left.
Oh, really? What happened?
Yeah, because the other guy.
No, you're thinking of no. You're thinking of the two guys that Strickland had before when it was just the Mogul. Prince Nana brought over Trench. These guys from ROH. Yeah.
Yeah, Trench. That's he's not in.
Different dude.
Oh, never mind.
He is not. But yeah, you know, I don't know. I think I like it. It's all good. All interesting things coming.
Any hoots. So yeah, that's what we're doing over here. It's just mixing up all these wrestlers that we saw for all of 2 seconds.
But Jason Reynolds remains indistinguishable and indelible.
Jason Reynolds will never be forgotten.
Him and Roderick Strong. I can't tell the difference. Just two generic white guys.
Yeah, basically. Okay. We've got a video, and I was like, some guy, Darby in a garage. And I was like, I guess this guy's dad was a wrestler, and he died. This kid wants to wrestle, and who is he? R.E. Darby.
Oh, so, you don't know who Nick Wayne is?
No.
Really? I thought we talked about him. He was like the forever ago. Like he was the 15 or 16 year old that AEW was signing.
I don't remember this.
It was kind of a blip. But he's been wrestling a lot in the indies. So he's come through Southern California a few times, and I've seen him. I don't think he was at the Republic of Lucha show.
No, he was not.
No.
But he's really good. For an 18-year-old, he's fantastic.
That is a very serious qualifier.
Well,
for an 18-year-old, he's fantastic.
Well, it's less a qualifier than for an 80-year-old, he's fantastic.
Sure. Those are both really intense qualifiers.
Well, I'll say this. When I saw him in GCW, he was amazing. Tonight, I thought he was very good, but he did strike me as a little more of an 18-year-old.
Uh-huh. So here's the thing, right? This bit, this whole video, I will talk about the match, but in this video, I'm like, I guess I'm supposed to know who this person is. I guess I'm supposed to root for this person. I don't know who this person is. I'm sorry about his dad. I guess everybody knows who he is except for me. So I'm just annoyed.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Maybe
fair.
This is where I'm at right now. Maybe that's who I am anymore.
You're me?
Maybe I
would you
want
to be me?
Oh,
maybe
Chan has to slide over to being me, and then I have to become Teresa.
Yeah, it's a beautiful circle. Maybe I've molted and I've left my beautiful plumes on the ground, but underneath was something so hideous.
The reverse of the ugly duckling.
No one could have seen it coming.
Yeah. The beautiful swan that was an ugly duckling underneath.
Yeah, suddenly becomes an ugly duck again. So I middled it. I didn't down it, but I didn't like it.
Wow.
I don't know how to separate like my anticipation for Nick Wayne, because I really was like really eager for him to eventually show up and do his thing, and I think that I didn't necessarily even expect it so soon, because it hasn't been that long. I was like, I don't know, like he was like 15 or whatever, and I was like, oh, it'll be a million trillion years. So I was definitely super eager for it, and I was very enthusiastic about this video as a result.
Yeah, same. There was some stuff last week to help set it up a little bit more. Although it sounds like your cold heart would not be moved one iota by that, so it doesn't even matter. Whatever this kid's been, kid got into the ring at 6 months. He's been
which is not true.
Training since 9.
Yeah. Okay. So when someone says I got in the ring at 6 months, it means someone picked him up and held him in the ring.
Yeah. Yeah. That's adorable. That's adorable. That is cute as hell.
How dare you say I've been in the ring since 6 months?
Have you seen Matt Hardy's kids? Have you seen them?
Of course. But you know what they won't do? They won't say I've been wrestling since I've been 6 months old. They're not going to say that.
Yes, they will. Also, he didn't say that. You're putting words into Nick Wayne's mouth.
Yes, but that's what he wants you to think. That's why he said it like that, so that it comes across like I'm not 18.
Look, somebody's.
I have 18 years of experience, you know, not like I'm only 18. You know what I mean?
When you put it like
I started at 6 months, then it's like, oh, well, shit, right? Like,
Teresa, this is the very crux of nepotism is that exactly. Nick Wayne has already started at 6 months old. And everyone else is starting like when they're at best a teenager,
or at best when they have muscle function. You don't have that much fucking muscle control at 6 months.
He probably didn't crawl into the ring entirely on his own because, like, you have to baby safe like the whole house because the baby will get into everything, including the ring.
I want to apologize because I did not realize that Nick Wayne fucked Teresa's mother Now that I know that, I understand why all of the vitriol, and I apologize. I am also mad at Nick Wayne for this horrible, horrible thing he's done, or possibly he gave Teresa's dad cancer. I'm unclear what exactly happened, but it's very obvious that this irrational hatred of Nick Wayne has a root.
I didn't have this feeling at this promo, but I did get this feeling during the match, which we'll talk about later.
Okay.
An immediate fuck this guy, but I was just like, I'm not really interested in this, and it's kind of annoying because I'm supposed to know all this stuff and I don't, and blah, blah, blah. I don't like how he's framing this whole situation, you know, like, you know, been in the ring so 6 months, whatever, whatever. he looks like a fucking child on top of all of that.
That's true.
He is doing this for like some sort of extra credit.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
The truth hurts.
We've got Adam Cole on the phone backstage. Poor Rene Paquette's trying to get an interview with him, but he's too busy. I guess his bitch of a girlfriend is nagging him on the phone.
I didn't think he was talking to Britt. I thought he was talking to MJF.
He definitely
He mentioned a couple times, like, no, baby. It was real hard to hear him, but every once in a while, something clear would come through.
Oh, wow. Yeah, this is fine. Roddy shows up, Roddy Strong. He's concerned.
What did he do to you now?
Nothing.
The tone of voice, you're like, ugh, yeah. Roddy's.
I told you I'm missing my beautiful plumes. I've explained myself.
You have. You made yourself very clear.
So anyway, Roddy shows up. He's concerned because he's like, you're not friends with MJF, are you? Adam's like, hey, man, he's cool. Because they're buds now. He and MJF are buds, and we don't know which one is lying. Are they both lying? Is only one of them lying?
I did like the it was during the video games, wasn't it, where Adam Cole was like, look, I was going to turn on you, and, you know, like, and MJF was like, of course, I was going to do exactly the same thing. Yeah. It's just delightful.
Because of course they would.
Of course they would.
There's nothing
wrong with that.
MJF is on the phone with Adam Cole, apparently. And he says he had just saw – oh, no, he texted. And that's what it was. He texted. And so Adam Cole was reading it out loud. And the text was, hey, can't wait, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I just saw I just saw Brian Cage walk by. I'm sick. I can't make it. Like this. So ridiculous. So that was funny. I give this a middle.
Ooh.
Same. Again, because like I don't think Cole is ideal in this setup. Like his selling of the goofiness isn't really hitting. He's trying to be a little too naturalistic for it. And the whole thing about like, oh, Roddy's jealous because his best friend is going away is dumb. I do not like Jimmy Stewart at all. Yes. Yes, I am. So all of that part, this is the part of this whole storyline that I don't like. So I also middled it.
Hmm. I thought it was all, I guess I middle it as well, but I don't know. It just is fine. It doesn't strike me strongly.
Okay. Let's see. Going to turn my page and read my notes.
Going to turn Big that Bill. Page.
Big Bill and Brian Cage versus MJF and Adam Cole. I thought it was so funny when MJF was doing the boom and the whole Adam Cole bit. I loved that. And I fully support this. MJF at first walks away. I don't like the whole Cole has to constantly coax him to like do the thing they're supposed to be doing, you know, like a match.
But it's a fine. Simpsons reference.
Is it?
Do the thing. Do
no, no, the no, no, thing. No.
She's talking about when MJF tried to flee the ring.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not necessarily like, that's not necessarily as fun for me, but I do like MJF is a cowardly heel, so somehow we've got to find a way to get the two of them on the same, on equal footing. So if he's got to do that for a minute just to maintain that side of his character, okay, I guess. But whatever. I liked this match. I thought it was good. Adam Cole ends up pinning Brian Cage. And then he starts doing a promo, and it was really funny. Again, MJF, do the thing. And he does Adam Cole, baby. That's great. Then they do a promo together for the Blind Eliminator match and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I thought this match was good, and I thought their promo was good and funny, and I gave it a thumbs up.
The match was good. There was a lot of like, foolishness, like MJF trying to lift Big Bill, like his back goes out. He's like, mother of God, like cartoony, over the top, silly and fun. Yes. Adam Cole seemed to like genuinely get pissed when the t-shirt was torn up.
Yeah.
How dare you, man? I made a note because like Taz says to Shivani, you are a miserable, rotten man. And I'm like, dang, that is as firmly as he's come out, with his heel side. And it's very funny. Getting to see MJF just embrace the 80s schlock heat face kind of thing. Do we have any devil worshippers? And of course, yeah. Canada gets to start chanting Satan, which is just absurd and super funny. They get a double clothesline chant going, and I'm curious if he'll be able to continue doing that in the US, or if it's just like the really smart Canadian crowd who's into this sort of thing. Because I think once we get down, you know, back into the States, we're going to get back to more of a straightforward, like MJF's a jerk kind of feel, and they're not going to go along with him so much. But also, like, he mostly crafted all of this out of whole cloth in the same way that Jericho does. Like, when he's just like, you know what? I'm going to come up with a t-shirt slogan today. And, like, 50% of the time, it sells t-shirts. Like, he just comes up with something, and it goes on a shirt, and it sells. And I feel like MJF, like, is already at that level where he can just sort of, like, turn it on and turn it off whenever he feels like. It's amazing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess like I still like have a little bit of difficulty with like some of the variances between this MJF and the MJF who has been around more commonly, because there are just certain things where I'm like, oh, he would have done this and now he's doing this, and what's I don't know. I don't know why that sticks in my craw a small bit, but like stuff like he would always like duck out of the ring for a minute, but he wouldn't do it like to like run away in the same way all the time. I don't know. It still is a good match.
Yeah. Yes. I agree. All right. So then we got Renee and Jake Hager. Jake Hager is saying he's going to go in and talk to Jericho. I don't know why Renee needs to be there, but okay. Maybe they just are trying to constantly come up with ways to have cameras around.
Wow, just trying to hold women down. That's
no, that's just shameful of you, Teresa. It was just such a weird, awkward beginning. You know what I mean? Like, it would have been fine to see Jake Hager walk in and whatever. But I have to remember that the artifice of being natural in front of a camera. And so they have to find a way to bring a camera into the room. Okay. Well, anyways, so Jake Hager says, you know, because they don't know what's going to happen with Jas and everything. And Jericho's basically alluding to this history as with Callis. And Jake Hager's like, well, you know, history with me too. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I like the intrigue. I didn't necessarily think this was like an awesome segment or anything.
Really?
But I really like the intrigue because, yeah, man, this would break up JAS and create some totally, totally new dynamic that would be just, you know, a little more interesting right now. So I gave it a thumbs up.
Interesting. I thought it was like really pretty strong. And actually, like, what I thought was I was like, I don't know when Jake Hager has ever been quite as good as this. Like, I feel like that was the best talking he's ever done, basically, which is maybe a high bar, but I still thought it was pretty good.
Well, you know why it was the best talking is because it was just talking. It wasn't a promo. It wasn't trying to sell anything. He was just talking to Jericho.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You know, with that, I agree with you. He did great with talking.
Yep. I mean, the only note I have is he took off the hat. Mm-hmm. And I have that in all caps. And on one level, it's kind of goofy. It's like, oh, my, that dumb hat. You know, it's like a thing. But on another level, like, it is emotionally affecting. Like, yeah, this is a thing. And it's a thing they shared. And it's another example of the rub that Jericho gives to people. He allows them to be in a place where they can get over things that they might not otherwise. And it gets to be like a really fun hook for Hager, and to see it go away, you know, is, or at least to be a point here, you know, like, the carries emotional heft for a silly ass hat is kind of wonderful.
It for sure, like, ascends to the level of like a luchador's mask, where like if Jake Hager hadn't taken it off, but someone tried to take it off him, you would have the same reaction.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was an interesting segment. We all thumbed this, right?
Yeah.
Okay. We got Sky Blue versus Ruby Soho. She comes out with the Outsiders. I liked this match. Sky Blue is getting better at selling things. So, I mean, it's just so crazy how much that makes a difference in your interest level in a match, right? Like, it makes a huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like someone's actually pulling someone's leg, you know, or twisting their knee and it really hurting. I'm not saying she was really bad at it before, but like, I just, there's something more dynamic about her tonight. So
I was wondering, like, I don't know what you, if you guys like have anything like to say about this, but I was wondering if Sky Blue has gotten more built up like over time as well, because it feels like she's bigger.
I mean, that would make sense.
Probably. Yeah.
Especially since she's been on a Wednesday night more often lately. Like, she would have to be on a real serious training regimen, I'd assume.
Yeah, that probably is true.
But you know, I don't know what they do around there, so who knows? Maybe it's steroids. I watched a whole thing on steroids.
I'll tell you what. Dang. It probably is methyl cellulose.
That's how they deliver the steroids.
Yeah.
In a McFlurry?
In a McFlurry, yes. Yeah.
Yes. Dingling, dingling, ding, ding, ding.
Oh, was that the remix? Remix for theme. I thought this was a good match. Ruby wins clean at the end, which is good and nice, and I like all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that there was no like serious interference or anything like that. I thought it was good. I gave it a thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same.
Guess what I didn't like?
Uh oh.
Oh no.
Look at your notes.
No. I know. I'm setting you up so that you can.
QTV.
You didn't like this.
No, Harley Cameron's rap class. I wrote no. No.
I thought it was delightful.
I did not. Again, maybe it's just me and I'm revealed to be a total garbage person.
Your evil anti-joy goblinism.
Yeah, that's me. I'm Oscar the Grouch. So all pleasant things are now abhorrent to me. Yeah, I just didn't like it. There's something about it that made me think, did they just like speed this up, you know, to
probably
make it more smooth and like seem like, whoa, she's really good, you know, or maybe she is really good. I don't know. Like some people can speak really fast. That is not me. So, you know, maybe she can speak really fast, but I didn't like the rap itself. I also just don't like this whole angle. I don't even know how to like talk about why it is that I don't like this angle, but I have a lot of reasons for it. It's just like all, it seems like too much for me to even talk about on a podcast.
it's getting too affecting for you to talk about it. It's reaching too deep into your heart.
There's just something about it where I'm like, okay. And maybe this is just me again, being a garbage person, whatever. But I'm like, why does a white woman have to come in and tell these, you know, black kids, like, I'm better at rapping than you, you know, I'm going to take you to rap class.
Yes, that very much seems like something a very bad person would do.
Yeah,
a jerk, you might say.
A heel?
You know what? There's an interesting word for it. Yeah, let's say that a heel might do something like that.
I mean, I know, but like, it's not the kind of heel that makes me like happy to watch. Mm-hmm. It's the kind of heel that makes me really like, oh, I hate you. You know,
we call that go away heat.
Yes.
Or X-Pac heat, and it is perfectly legitimate for you to feel that way.
Okay. That's how I feel.
Is that a thumbs down then?
Yeah.
Really?
Oh. I was surprised because I came in feeling the same way. I'm like, oh, Jesus, there's going to be this white lady who's going to rap, and it's not going to be good, and that's, you know, sort of the point, but then also it's so overdone and hack that like, oh Christ, we don't need to see this again. And it was not good, but there was a certain kind of credibility to it that worked for me as like, okay, this is what a bad guy does. This is someone who thinks more highly of themselves than they should. That's something that, like, I feel like the Harley Cameron character needs to, like, be an effective heel. So far, she's just been, like, a bimbo. And then they've sort of added, like, oh, and she's kind of a jerk. But this sort of narcissism, which lends itself to, you know, a rapper character, clicked for me. And I'm like, okay, I see where they're going. I kind of like this. It's got a lot of flaws, but also, you know, it's wrestling. And so I'm willing to let it go and see where it goes. I'm still not high on QTV in any way, shape, or form. But they're finally giving her something to do. And she's been around for a while now and has just been, you know, standing around, which has just been irritating the shit out of me. So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I liked it, but I get where you're coming from.
Yeah, I guess like it's totally fair to not like, but I liked it. I thought it was I like a surprisingly a catchy kind of earwormy sound to the rap. I didn't think it was necessarily
the fact that you think it's a good rap tells me all I need to know about how good the rap is.
Well, definitely...
what I thought was like, there's kind of carte blanche here to do whatever you want to do to it to like, because like anything good about it is probably going to be kind of like some kind of artifice or trick or cheat or whatever. But like the sum total of it was, I don't know. It sounded kind of fun.
I mean, it definitely was like heavily produced and, you know, someone made it sound good. You know what I mean?
But, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You mean like all music?
Well, of course. But I mean, you know, like she's talking shit about two guys who come out to a crowd and do it on the fly. You know what I mean?
But they also, they you know, they're not freestyling, but they do it super slow. So...
And also,
like I feel like
it's something. Also,
if they're taping the show, sometimes they'll just stop and go back and do it again.
Yes,
as we well know,
we know that.
All right. Was that at the show we saw live, or was that actually on TV?
No, it was live.
Yeah, okay. I don't think they showed that.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, there's that, I guess. The magic of TV.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
What's weird is that, don't they show it live, though? Isn't it taped live?
Sometimes the show is taped, and they can edit it when it's taped.
It must have been.
It was a Rampage.
Okay, I was going to say, it must have been for Rampage.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right, we've got Swerve, who always looks so cool.
Oh, my God.
It's just a song.
Oh, wait a minute, Calder. Did you thumb it up?
I implied heavily that it was a thumbs up.
Fair enough. Implication received.
So yeah, Swerve is just like the coolest person in the world, and
carries
himself in that way, and I believe it 100%. Versus Nick Wayne, and comes out the dumbest hand gesture and entrance, and then like the length of his entrance and his like whatever the amount of time he spent on that hand gesture, I was like, this is signaling something, and if Swerve loses, I will break my own legs.
Oh, there was no chance. I didn't.
I will
think
be
for one
so
second.
Angry.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't fucking know. This guy just cut this promotion where he talks about his dad dying. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I don't know.
I honestly assumed he would win. So,
I assumed he would lose from the jump.
All I know is I was prepared to break my own legs out of anger. but I'm thankful to say, if I can cut to the chase, that Swerve did not lose. But I was like, you know, this guy, he's not the worst in the world, but he's no Dante and Darius Martin, for sure. I don't like him. I just don't like him. And I think the positive could be whoever it was Swerve, right? Who said he was going to tear through all the Nepo babies at AEW.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't Swerve doing that?
No.
So I was like, that at least is a thing, you know, but I'm not saying he's terrible. I just don't like him. He looks like a baby. And even Darius and Dante, who I don't think they were like 19 when they started. So, you know, it's not like they were much older, but they just carried themselves differently. I didn't necessarily see them as babies, you know? They didn't look like that to me. I don't know what it is about this guy. I don't know if it's his necklace. I don't know if it was his... I don't know. I just don't like him.
Wow, wow,
wow, wow, wow.
Powerful stuff.
I'm still surprised at everything I say tonight. Like every time I open my mouth,
it's not really surprising per se. Like you definitely didn't like Brock Anderson either.
No, I still don't.
It's just that you took a week off and you came back hating wrestling, which is
Hate wrestling. I think you guys
love it too much.
I don't know. I don't know. You just don't see it from my perspective right now.
No, I think I get what you're putting down. I was not
picking up.
To be truthful, I was okay with the promo basically, and I was like looking forward to him. But then when it came time for the match, I was definitely a little disappointed with his moves. It definitely splashed some water on him for me. I mean, it's definitely like him.
Oh yeah, this kid's 18. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh yeah, this guy earned a place to fucking wrestle one of the best wrestlers at AEW, Swerve Strickland, right? It doesn't look like that. It looks like, oh, it's a Nepo baby. And that's why Swerve is challenging. And it makes sense because he is a Nepo baby and he looks like a baby. You know, he looks like an 18-year-old, like, doing this. Now, is he the worst? No, he's not. He's not the worst. But I would argue that Dante and Darius looked way more professional. And maybe it's that 1 year difference. I don't know. But I don't know, man. And maybe it's because Dante and Darius were high flyers and they were a tag team. I don't know. But if you're gonna build something up and then put in with something like that, then I don't know. I expect more because the Young Bucks basically took a chance on Dante and Darius, or so the story goes. And I was not disappointed in the least, you know what I mean? And again, the Bucks make everyone look really good. And Dante and Darius are really good, but maybe it also didn't hurt that they were up against the Bucks when we first saw them. But it also set the bar so fucking high then when they're like, we brought in this kid to wrestle against one of the best fucking wrestlers in our roster. Because we feel that strongly about it, you know, or whatever, or we think this guy's earned his shot, you know, so the fucking bar is really high. So when Brock sucks, he sucks. There it is. And he's certainly not 18, you know, he's much older, but you know, he doesn't get the benefit of being 18 for someone to be like, oh, he's got time. You know what I mean? Cat, sorry, I put on a bird video and she's attacking the TV. Psst, hey, get down.
Ramona is pro Nick Wayne.
Ramona, now she's like, what can I fuck with? She's hold on, I have to get her physically off this thing. Hold on.
This is magical.
Oh yeah, this is good. This is good podcasting.
Okay, so I took my headphones off. You know what else? I have a cricket in here just singing away. Are you still there?
Oh yeah, I'm here for now.
Okay.
I have gone for a smoke.
Okay.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
Anyways, so this is just the fortunate / unfortunate thing of the excellence that has been brought to us in the past is like now someone like myself isn't necessarily going to be all that forgiving.
Maybe, that's fair. I think that's fair.
Someone new, you know, he's only 18, so he has plenty of time. And if he's, you know, doing this well now, obviously he's going to be doing well in the future. And I applaud that, and I hope he does well and continues to follow his dream, right? I think that's great. But when I think about all the people that need screen time right now, and there's like two segments, this kid got. It's like, damn.
We do have 5 hours of TV now.
Yeah.
That's true. But why don't you stick it on a Saturday when I'm not watching?
I get what you're saying. I am curious if you had seen just a little bit that they introduced last week, if maybe you might have been a little more prepped and like kind of into it. I am probably more willing to cut him slack because, like I said, I saw him live and I thought he was really good. It's like for all the crap that I give Sky Blue, Nick Wayne showed a lot of the same sorts of things that by rights I should be saying, like, man, go back to Dark. Go back to AW Dark. Oh God, what was the other one?
Dark Elevation.
Thank you. Go back to Dark Elevation and then come back when you're, polished. But I think they took a swing here that, like, we're bringing him in. Like, we signed him years ago, and let's just give him a real spotlight here and, let him shine. And
it was a real high risk, high reward deal.
Yeah. And I think maybe like Action Andretti, what'll happen is, you got this little bit of rub. Now people recognize your name. You'll go back down and, job to a lot of people and get better. And every once in a while you pop up on TV and people will be like, oh, right, that guy. Oh, good for him. Oh, he's getting better, So, I think this is a net positive. It is what it is. Okay. Would you thumb this, Calder?
The match, I guess I would still middle it.
Okay.
It's a middle for me.
Oh, I thought you were going to down this. I
went in on this guy. I said that the match itself was, fine and he's not terrible, but it's not. I don't know. There's just stuff that I wish they would be doing that instead they're doing things like this, which are fine, whatever. We've got 5 hours now, but it's turning into what I'm worried about is it's turning into like two separate promotions altogether. You know what I mean?
I like that. Because I think if you're going to make another show, make it feel different.
No. I'm not saying the feel. I'm saying we will, I'm worried we won't see, whole sides of a roster on one night or the other, right? Like, you have to choose a night, just like WWE did. Or, if you want to see person X, you have to watch on a Friday. If you want to see person Y, you have to watch on a Monday, because they will never, ever, ever be on the opposite night. You know what I mean? And that bothers me, right? And so I'm getting a part of me is nervous that am I going to start seeing some garbage? Are they just going to put all the things that they don't like or don't want or think are going to maybe aren't so great? Are they going to put those things on Wednesdays?
I don't know. I mean, Dynamite is clearly the premier show. Like, it's the A show. I think they're always going to put, not to say that they're going to put absolute all. I mean, they're going to definitely take some of their good stuff and try to spread it around. But I think they're never going to have something that is among their best and not put it on Dynamite.
And it could be that since Saturday is so new, they didn't want to experiment yet with a segment that maybe won't be all that great. But I don't know. Just my thoughts.
What's Ramona have to say about it?
Well, she's now in a chair and she's settling down, which is good because the alternative is she's attacking the birds on the TV. So I'd rather settle down. Chan?
A talking segment in the main event.
I love it. Don Callis comes out to his eerie Mike Tyson music. He's in the ring and he's calling Kenny a coward. And Kenny comes out because, as we know, he is no coward, but the baddest motherfucker in town. But the Blackpool Combat Club and Takeshita come out, and Pac also attacks him.
I was so excited when Pac came out.
This,
I was like, oh my God.
Here was where I turned because, yeah, like I said, I'm always like, how dare you try and sell me on, you know, just people talking when I should be seeing like a huge, you know, amazing match to finish this thing. Start hot, end hot. That's how you have a good show. But then when Pac came out, I'm like, okay. Well, maybe this will be worth it. Let's see who, you know, the other person coming in is. But like, yeah, I could do this.
So, yeah, Pac will be the fifth member in situation with Blackpool Combat Club. But then they're all attacking Kenny. And, oh, man. Pac cut an awesome promo. I love his accent. But Kenny's all, like, choking and... He's like, yeah, well, we have a fifth guy too. Look on the screen. And who's their fifth member? They've got the Golden Elite with Ibushi.
Kota Ibushi.
It was pretty fucking cool.
It is cool. Okay. I will say that I'm disappointed that he wasn't there live. Especially because like Pac comes out and you're like, whoa,
yeah, that's
energized.
True.
And you know, here's this big name that's coming. Who's it gonna be? You know, if you read the dirt sheets or whatever, like you kind of assumed it for a long time. And so like, yeah, you kind of want something a little bit more exciting than like, here's a video that I made. Oh, look, there's some stuff that this guy did once.
I agree with that. But because it's one of the Japanese wrestlers, I always assume it's some sort of weird travel thing that they can't get there on time.
Probably.
Because he'd be flying into Canada.
Right.
Know, into Saskatchewan, I think is where they were at. And
yes.
Probably the match is going to be much closer to, you know, it won't be such a long flight. Whatever city they end up being in, but I don't know.
They said, I think it's somewhere on the East Coast.
I think it's in Boston.
Ah, okay. Boston. Boston.
Boston.
Beaston. Beantown.
But yeah, like, yeah, I still thumb this up because, you know, it is cool. And yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, pretty dang cool.
Yeah, I was excited by it.
I don't know if I do say dang cool, but, you know, it's cool.
I'll help you and say dang.
Oh, Teresa's inner swan is back.
just briefly, I'm kidding.
This show got a 90%, so by the skin of its teeth, it's a must watch.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm so nervous about everything I said.
I feel like the stuff that was mediocre was just on the side of entertaining to sort of, you know, give it the thumb up, and there were no real clunkers. Even the stuff that like didn't hit with giant sucking hole of evil over there, the rest of us kind of thought was pretty okay, and so it sort of balanced out.
Interesting.
See, that's how it goes.
Yeah. I would like a report next week. Like, how does it feel to be me, you know, going around just hating everything and being jaded and cold hearted and, you know, just a general.
You should know.
Yeah, but I just wonder what it's like for other people. Do you get spit on the street? Is that like a thing?
I don't think so. I'm sure that's not a thing.
I don't think so, Tim.
Oh, man. That is like so tucked away in the inner recesses of my brain. I forgot it was a thing until you said that. I'm like, oh, shit.
Home Improvement.
I recognize that.
The great Richard Karn.
Wow. Okay, I guess we're done now.
Yeah, we're done.
Ding dong, ding-a-ling, ding-ding, ding-ding, ding-ding-doom.